I'm missing all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack.
What about your salsa?
Well, I decided just to, well, it's more of a pico de gallo than a salsa.
I don't know
what makes something a salsa versus pico de gallo. Is it the cooking process?
Maybe, but it might have something to do with cilantro.
Pico de gallo.
It's got a lot of, what is it? It's lime, tomato, onion, jalapeno, and...
Well, the ingredients are virtually the same. Salsa tends to be soupier. Pico de gallo appears more like a salad. Pico de gallo typically has very little liquid in the bowl, maybe just a little from the chopped tomatoes. In fact, you can eat it as a side because of how salad-like it is. Salsas, in contrast, are a lot soupier. They said that already. Sometimes even smooth in texture.
I can't wait to start making salsa again next year. I made quite a few jars. I gave you and James some, but I was very somewhat disappointed. I mean, I didn't want to go overboard and all that, but I did cram quite a few jalapenos in there, and yeah, they were just very mild. They didn't come out like all that strong at all. I was kind of disappointed. Like, ooh, I like well, me my spice. You know, I like
the gallo
my spice.
Is it's straight fire, homie. This shit is fucked.
Did you use jalapeno or did you use another pepper?
6 jalapenos, 6 scotch bonnets, and 8 tomatoes.
Oh, dude. Are you like... How many jars did you make?
I just put it in one big Tupperware.
Dude, it's going to go to waste, no? You can't eat all that.
I can and I will. Absolutely. I mean, it gives you the spicy hiccups.
So you did not cook this then? Is that what you're saying?
No.
You just cut it all up and...
Chop it all up, throw it in a Tupperware, mix it up. Toss in some lime juice, the cilantro, a little bit of salt, and just wait overnight. And I went to town on it the following night. It was great.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
But it is straight fire. Like, Candace won't touch it.
Yeah, you gotta watch out with that, man. Like I said, that's why I took it a little easy, because I knew I'd be sharing the salsa with, like, you guys. So I'd take it a little... easy, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, you can load it up if you're passing any off to me.
I know. And yeah, my threshold for spice has really taken a beating over the years. Like, I used to be the champ back in the day, and I think that's what the problem is now. Like, I could, like, smell spicy food now, not even, like, take a bite. Or, like, let's just say I take a bite, okay? Like, a small bite. I'm pretty much sweating right off the bat. This just
happened to you.
It's like this reaction my body had. I think it was this one night at Annie's where they had the suicide sauce there, the habanero sauce.
Oh, I know all about that stuff.
Yeah, Fire Wang. Anyhow.
That wasn't limited to just me, by the way.
I know. But either way, we were literally like just drenching these giant chicken wings in this stuff. And yeah, but at the end of the night, like, my clothes were just sopping wet, and I think it just literally changed my physical chemistry that evening.
I've not lost a step in that regard, I don't think. Not yet, anyway.
I can still do it, don't get me wrong, but it's now, I've toned it down, because back in the day it was, you know, like, oh, look what I can do. And I think it was all started with Dad, too. Like, you think you could eat this? And I was like, for sure. Like, 10 years old, like,
yeah, no, the first experience with seriously spicy food is something to behold. Kind of like drinking whiskey for the first time.
I think I told you guys this on the show, but I'll tell it one more time. Like, not too long ago, probably what, 2 months ago, we're eating dinner and we're having some sushi and stuff, and my kid's like,
oh, the wasabi story.
Yeah, he basically, you know, I told him we had spicy mayonnaise on the side and he wanted to try it. And I was like, okay, well, you're not going to like it. Like, do what you want. And maybe about a minute later, like, I look at him and he's just got this look on his face, and he pretty much jumps right out of his chair like he's seen a ghost. And I'm like, hey, that's enough. It's not that spicy. Like, calm down. Like, I told you, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, the poor kid, he ate an entire ball of wasabi.
Oh, that's God. Amazing. That's probably going to scar him forever.
We laugh about it now because there's a scene in Cars, the movie Cars 2, where Mater, I explained it to him. Like, now he's old enough. We've seen the movie probably like, I don't know, 50 times, you know. But we haven't seen it in a while. And then I explained it to him that, you know, you see that scene where Mater's drinking the water out of the fountain? They're in Japan, basically. And he takes the wasabi and he's like, check out this pistachio ice cream, you know? So I explained that joke to my son and he like kind of like, I just saw the light bulb go off, you know? And he cracked up. It was awesome.
At least you can laugh about it now.
Yeah. I was like, you understand now it's hot, eh? Look at Mater. And he was like, he was loving it.
Yeah, we don't need a whole lot of spicy around here now. I try to keep it up because I don't want to one day put something that I used to be able to handle into my gullet and then just cry and complain and need to eat a bunch of cheese or yogurt to quell the flames. I don't want that to happen until I'm like, 80.
Well, either way, that stuff does have adverse effects on my stomach now too if it's too spicy.
There was a restaurant that I went to once. It was an Italian Nepalese place. That's the only spicy food I've eaten that I couldn't do it. I just couldn't handle it. It was like they put like five little chili peppers next to the food item on the menu.
And that's like your that's like soothing after.
Well, no, it's like, you know, in restaurants they'll put a number of chili peppers next to certain spicy items.
Okay, on the menu, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it's always like, yeah, fine, whatever. You're saying it's spicy, but it's probably not. And then I go for the one that has like four or five chili peppers on the menu, and I said, "Is this really spicy?" She said, yeah, it's really quite spicy. Can you make sure the chef knows I really like it spicy? Okay.
Bad move.
Yeah, no, it came back. It was brutal. It was so hot. I got through maybe 2/3 of it, and I couldn't. I had to stop.
Yeah, I've been there. I think it was last year, the year before St. Paddy's Day. I actually went out for the first time in a few years, and yeah, I went out, and I still went to work the next morning. But luckily, I did go out with one of my bosses at the time, and so probably like 11 in the morning, he was just like, dude, we got to go get Indian food. I need Indian food now. And I was like, yeah, that kind of sounds good. And I made the mistake of ordering a vindaloo.
Like, that's not a mistake.
Well, being quite hungover it was, being in the first meal of the day.
I feel like that might be the thing you need to wake you up.
Yeah, or put you down for the count.
Nah, come on.
Yeah, trust me, I trooped through the day.
So it wasn't just booze that did you in.
I wouldn't do it again. I would go for a more, something to get more of a solid base back into the system.
Yeah, you start with the rice first and then you pile in the vindaloo part. Or just ask for a bunch of naan bread to start.
Either way. Hey, so, do you remember what we did, I don't know, 15 years ago today?
Yeah, I saw we saw what I consider to be the weakest of Star Wars movies. Happy birthday, Attack of the Clones.
Yep, indeed. Indeed.
Funny, I did a little bit of a tap dance on that movie in the TSW VIP group today.
You know what? I actually saw that about a minute before we recorded, so I actually didn't get even a chance to read your entire rant. I only got to read the comment below being like, holy cow, like, tell us what you really think. So, yeah, I get that.
Rob Phillips said, well, gee, what do you really think? And the thing is, I get enjoyment out of the movie. I don't sit there, like, self-harming, cutting myself with a razor blade while I watch the movie, but there's just so many things to me that irk me that overall it throws the movie right to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, I so have to agree with you there. And the most disappointing thing about that movie was the fact that, you know, I have to say I was kind of let down by the Phantom Menace. I got to say it, you know, times have changed. My feelings have changed. But at the time, at that time in my life, I enjoyed it, but I was like, I had a hard time accepting it at first, but don't get me wrong. I still had Star Wars back, like full force. You were there. You saw it. Like, it's not like I ever stopped Star Warsing, but.
Well, Phantom Menace was in a no-win situation because you knew that whatever the climax of that movie was going to be, it was never going to be the climax of A New Hope or Jedi. It couldn't be because nothing had really started yet. So, yeah, fine. They fought this wimpy Trade Federation, but you knew that the Trade Federation was just a small part of what was yet to come. Well, and it was also the light tone of the movie. It was sort of aimed square, like right between the eyes of children, and we weren't children anymore. And we were kind of pissed off that we grew up, but Star Wars didn't grow up with us.
No, you're right.
We weren't happy about that.
It was a bit of a different direction for me. That's all. Like it was hard to accept at first because, yeah, again, like I was expecting something a little more deep.
Well, I would say that the prequels as a whole might be much deeper than the originals.
That I agree with you, but the Phantom Menace, when I saw it, like it was the acting stuff like that. Everything was very transparent in a way. Like I'll never stop saying this to you. Like I'll never forget this. I was sitting beside my best friend John Bilodeau, and you hear the gun racer there, and it's like, is that a Jedi? Like right at the beginning, I was like, oh, what's going on? And yeah, like whatever. Today I love the Phantom Menace. Love it. Attack of the Clones, been quite a while since I've seen it at this point, so I'm gonna have to indulge myself again. But again, being the follow-up to the Phantom Menace, at that point I was expecting more. Again, that might have been a sign of my naivete.
We got more. It's a movie with more,
but no,
it's just very messy.
It's not what I wanted at that time. Again, I was really hoping at this point, like knowing that Anakin had grown up a bit, that this story did grow up a bit. I don't know. It's just that movie. I've told you this before. This has never happened to me before, but even myself, but it was my fifth viewing in theater. My girlfriend at the time said, okay, I'm going to come with you. And she took her girlfriend and a buddy of mine who were paired up. We all went and, you know, we watched about half the movie, three quarters of the movie maybe. And the next thing you know, like credits were rolling and I was asleep and all my friends were asleep. And they had never seen the movie before. Like I had seen it five times.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Maybe we went out and ate a big meal and drank prior, but.
Well, that's happened to me before too. Like I went out for an all-you-can-eat sushi once, and then out to a movie after. And me and my buddy, I could not stay awake. It was awful.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah, I listed out a bunch of stuff that I thought was good about Attack of the Clones. I tried to start off on the right foot. You know, I find the opening scene where Padme's chromed ship is flying through the clouds, I thought that was beautiful. You know, the speeder chase through Coruscant was really well done. We had these grand visuals of the clone army, the Republic cruisers. Anakin's anger, I bought. A lot of people crapped on them for his acting. I buy his anger. Count Dooku, love him. I think he's the most underserved villain in Star Wars history. But then I beyond that, I struggled to find things that I like. And I could go on probably for another 2 hours about the stuff that I don't like if you want me to.
No, you make good points. You didn't bring up Grievous. But
look, he's not in it.
That's true. He only comes in and sits. That's true.
But Clone Wars, if you want to be technical about it.
But Clone Wars was created in, what, 2008?
Yeah.
So it's after all that, but yeah. No, Dooku, totally on board. You make very good points there, but I don't know. It's just the whole story. They did so many weird and silly things. I don't want to get into it again, but again, the movie had so much, all these movies, that whole era had more potential. Like, it seemed like they were really trying to push the edge in special effects, almost like with that gladiator scene, kind of, you know.
Well, George was so huge into digital filmmaking at that point, not just the effects, but capturing everything digitally.
He's a pioneer. That said, he wanted to tackle a whole new platform, kind of, you know, be the master of that platform.
Yeah, I mean, that he wanted to usher in the digital era of filmmaking, and in order to do that, you had to actually make movies digitally. So he was doing that. Just, I don't know if he was too preoccupied with that. That seems to be a common narrative. The other side of that coin is that he was much too surrounded and ensconced with yes men who never challenged him. That might be true as well. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
It's true. Like, him being at the head of it, like you say, he really should, even as a good businessman, you should probably hire like someone that's there to critique you.
Yeah. You should have people to challenge you, to question your ideas and say, dude, this is not going to make sense. People aren't going to buy this.
Well, regardless, he's still the owner and people can tell him and he can just be like, no, we're going to do that.
Maybe that happened. But then, you know, the end result is that he got tarred and feathered for years afterwards. It's only in the last few months, 2 year, that people are starting to really have a love in for George Lucas again.
Yeah, it's
but there,
true.
There are certain things in episode two that I can't overlook. The worst thing, it just still grinds my gears like nothing else. Obi-Wan laying there from his two minor flesh wounds from Dooku. That I can't get around that. It makes no sense, and there's nobody on this planet that can rationalize it and say, no, it makes sense because blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'll give you a quick blah, blah, blah. Dooku poisoned the tip of his lightsaber.
Huh? No.
I know. What do you think? Poison. No.
It makes no sense. Like, you saw that his two wounds too, right? They're very superficial.
I watched it recently just for the fact, because I remember you ranting on it not too long ago, and I was like, I gotta go YouTube this, man. And yeah, really, really not impressed at all with that.
I mean, again, fine, yeah, he's down for the count, but he's like totally awake. And then Anakin comes in to save him, and then Obi-Wan throws him the second lightsaber. Okay. I get you. If you're gonna sit on the bench for the rest of the game, at least, you know, cheer on your teammates.
Yeah, defenseless.
Like, but then Dooku, he just stays there. Like,
yeah, Dooku could just jump over there in a second, like backflip over Annie, like slice Obi-Wan in half.
He just continues laying there. Just crawl, roll, wiggle like an amoeba. Just get out of the way. But he doesn't. He stays there. And then they cut back to him at some point, and now he's out cold. What happened? Did he just get tired of watching this boring fight and he just fell asleep? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the 3PO scene too.
Oh, I didn't even put that in my little mini rant on the TSW VIP page. That's as bad as anything.
Oh, it's bad.
I guess that makes kids laugh, which if I watch it with my kids and they find it funny, I'll let it slide. But I do remember watching that, you know, 15 years ago today, and just being like,
yeah, it's a facepalm moment, like in the theater. Whoa. Like, come on, guys,
it's just brutal. Yeah, and then there was the whole Sifo Dyas thing and the creation of the clone army.
That
so
was
sloppy,
very sloppy. But one of the coolest things. We talked about it not too long ago, and I came up with some crazy stuff there, but gee whiz, like, so much potential there. I think that was one of my favorite things in the movie, when the hidden planet, Kamino, they're figuring it out, and I'm like, ooh, what's going on here? And this hidden clone army, and just the ignorance of the Jedi.
Well, like, yeah, there's the Jedi have no clue, but then this guy at the diner has all the answers.
Yeah, really, really, really odd.
You should clone yourself.
Why's that?
So you can go fuck yourself.
Really odd. And just the fact that they accept the clones as is, like, yeah, well, they're related to Sifo Dyas, the mysterious Jedi who was either, I think he was just mysteriously disappeared, commissioned this army. I don't know where Sifo Dyas got the money from. But then, you know, we later find out it's Palpatine pulling the strings.
Yeah, Dooku was working with him as well.
That was Mark's question. It touched back on... I was kind of making that reference to Palpatine having his hand everywhere. And even with Sifo Dyas, I don't think Sifo Dyas was really... I think he was kind of set up. It's not like... In this scenario, I can't see it being the wills of the Force being like, okay, well, Sifo Dyas just took it upon himself to... Like, who are the Kaminoans as well? Like, just blindly like, yeah, Sifo Dyas, you seem legit. Just sign here.
Ooh, Jedi Council member. Okay, yeah, just sign here on the dotted line. You can pay us later. We'll start building a million and more clones for you.
Yeah.
No problem. We'll get right on that. What? And where were all these warships being built simultaneously, ready exactly at the same time?
Yeah, a lot of loopholes, but I don't want to dump on them too much again, but...
too late.
Yeah. But, you know, they just... The follow-up to The Phantom Menace, the potential for it to be much darker than what it was just kind of fell through the cracks on that one, I think. The potential for a much more emotional and meatier story using the same bones and structure that he'd already had could have been accomplished.
Well, I think it still tells a good story overall. Like, if somebody asked you to tell me the story of Attack of the Clones in 2 minutes, so you have to leave out all the gory details, and you just have to tell them that, oh boy, so Anakin is obsessing over Padme, and he finally gets a chance to be with her by protecting her, and then he's having a bad dream about his mom, so he goes to save her, and you could probably tell a pretty good story that way. But of course, then the reality is you have to sit through whatever it is, 133 minutes or 140 minutes.
A lot of potential loss there. Again, the thing with Shmi, the death scene was kind of,
I like the death scene.
I'd have to watch it again. I just remember in theater being like, worst death scene ever. Like, I was like all mad because of the way she had passed away. But I'll have to see it again sometime soon. But that again had a lot of potential, and I like that part of was thrown into that film anyhow. That, you know, he had that like he just killed an entire tribe, right? That was pretty heavy.
Yeah, well, I wish in a way we had gotten to see that.
Well, you know, at least some of it.
In Phantom Menace, we were told that the Naboo were dying. It was a catastrophe. Didn't see it. Hard to feel it if you don't see it. And Anakin got really pissed off and slaughtered the entire tribe of Tusken Raiders. Can't feel it if you don't see it. And Alderaan gets blown up. Don't care. I had no connection to Alderaan. You know, all these really terrible things happen in Star Wars, but you don't really get to see it.
That's very true. Seeing, like, I think your kind of the proof is in the pudding there. You having seen Kylo stab our buddy Han Solo, his daddy, and killing him, has kind of left its mark on you, in the sense, when I compare that to what the atrocities that Vader's done in his 15-year tenure as a Sith Lord, probably some pretty atrocious things, having killed all those younglings, all that stuff. Unforgivable acts, but we accept Vader back to the light. How is Kylo?
Well, we don't. The Force did.
The Force did. I do, but as well. I mean, it's in the story. I mean, come on. Are you not rooting for Vader at the end?
Well, of course. Yeah, you want to see him come back. But I don't think tossing the old man over the side makes up for all the brutal things he did from episode 3 right through and right through Jedi.
Well, you know, it all depends on what he was feeling inside.
Oh.
It really does.
I don't think it really works that way.
I would think it would. Like it.
Well, I don't. So the guy who murders 30 children gets let off the hook because he threw one bad guy over a rail? And that's just killing the 30 children is a start.
Oh,
that's
I know.
That's the tip of the iceberg.
Dude, this guy's waged wars. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, and that was my problem with your argument for not being able to accept Kylo coming back to the light. He killed one of your favorite characters. Okay, I get it.
I don't want Kylo coming back to the light. I've never said I want him to.
No, I know.
I really won't accept him.
But your reasoning at points was just because you were just like, well, he killed Han Solo.
I mean, that's brutal enough. I mean, that as a fan, I mean, there's two ways to dissect that. Is as a viewer of these movies from the outside, you know, in the God position here, and then there's in universe where, okay, he killed one man. That's, even if it's his father, crime of passion, you could maybe get around that. But he also ordered the killing of everybody in that village for no reason.
True.
That's the true crime he commits in that movie.
Yeah, he's without hesitation. I'll accept him back to the light if his scar reverts to its original position.
I find that answer vague and unconvincing.
Oh, whatever. I'm game for it. I actually, if you want to get into some questions and whatnot here, I don't.
Well,
have
okay. Let's just finish with Attack of the Clones. After we just took a 25-minute shit all over it. Happy birthday, Attack of the Clones. Happy 15 years, you spoiled brat. May you always be the caboose of the Star Wars saga.
Yeah, so true. But again,
I am joking. I mean, it's like having, you got a house full of pets. You're inevitably going to like one of those pets less than the others. It shits on the floor. It chews your slippers. It eats the cake on the counter before the birthday party. You know, it's, but then it, whenever it sees you, it's really happy to see you. You know, it's that to me is what Attack of the Clone is.
Yeah, I'm a little different in that regard, because if I had a dog like that, I'd just have to love it a little more sometimes after having beaten him, I guess. But
Jesus,
no, but you got to give those dogs a little more attention. But, good analogy.
Well, then I guess you need to, as soon as we're done, go watch Attack of the Clones. Give it a little more love.
I should. I really, really should. I'll probably regret it, but no, you can't regret Star Wars. It's just, again, seeing it with you, opening night with my friend.
Well, I have very little memory of that.
Me too, to be honest. I really fully remember Phantom Menace. Revenge of the Sith, I quite remember quite well as well, especially the parking lot madness at the end.
I don't remember that much at all as well.
Really, eh? Dude, it took us like about 45 minutes to get out of the parking lot that night, just because like they had like 10 theaters open or whatever, 7 theaters, and it was a mess. It was like it was probably about 3:30 in the morning. I was living with you at the time. We both didn't get back till about 4 in the morning.
I don't remember that at all. Which maybe is not the most ringing endorsement of those two movies. I remember The Phantom Menace very clearly. But yeah, the other two, don't remember very well at all. Anyway.
It's kind of sad. I definitely remember The Force Awakens and Rogue One.
Oh yeah. And you know, those experiences delivered. I will definitely remember those for a long time. Anyway, let's move on. Happy birthday, Attack of the Clones. I hope you age better than you have to this point. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say about Attack of the Clones. So,
yeah, we still love you. Don't worry.
All right, what do you got?
Dude, I got all kinds, but kind of playing on this vibe we were just talking about, I want to get your opinion on this. We were just kind of touching upon this the other night on the Tumbling Saber. So, what if... at the end of the movie, you know, I kind of got a meat and bones structure laid out for the movie yet. I won't fully show it, put it out there yet, but I want to ask you this question. What if at the end of the movie, like toward the end of the movie, I was talking to you guys about, you know, Snoke kind of using Kylo. We all kind of get that impression, I think, in a way. But to what ends? And I was kind of suggesting that Rey can possibly be that ends. So what if at the end of this movie, like there's a climax with all these Force users and Kylo kind of realizes he's been manipulated and he killed his dad and he's just like, oh my God, what have I done? Kind of deal. And Snoke either leaves with Rey or Luke. That's kind of your option. Snoke's leaving with one of these characters, either by their own accord or they're captured. Or the person, willingly goes, either for good or bad purposes, or is captured and goes with Snoke. And Kylo kind of, you know, he's the Luke of this movie in this, not, like, we know Rey's the main character, but Kylo's the kind of guy that's going to be hanging off the ledge at Bespin at the end of the movie kind of deal, and they save him, you know?
So you want me to answer who I want to be taken or captured or going off with Snoke?
Something like that. Like, who would you see if Snoke were to take one of them and Kylo were to be dumped off? Who would you see it being, Luke or Rey? And kind of just what do you think about the general theory, I guess?
I don't know. I mean, I think I could most easily stomach, as long as either Luke or Rey were captured, I don't want to see either of them go with him voluntarily.
Yeah, that would be
especially
a big
Luke. Yeah, that would be.
It would negate the old stuff. But again, we don't know what truths they're finding out, so who knows? You know. Could just be the kids against the old folks in for episode 9.
Well, to answer your other question, I don't know that Snoke really wants Rey or that he's been looking for Rey this whole time and has had to settle for Kylo. It's clear in the novel that, I don't know if it's the novel or screenplay. I don't own either, so. But I know in one of the two, Snoke mentions how he really likes Kylo because of the perfect balance of light and dark within him. Hmm. So it sounds like Snoke has the guy he wants.
I don't know. I almost see it being more like, I want to elaborate again on what I was saying the other night on Tumbling Saber Pod, that I wish I would have thrown it in there, but I didn't. But I was kind of saying, you know, the ends to his means, going after Rey. I wanted to like kind of alter it and say like, going after the one who wields the Skywalker saber. Like Kylo thinks it's going to be him. He's like, puts his hand out there. Come to me, baby. And it's like whoosh, right by his face. And he's like, no. And then he's like really mad. He's like, that's mine.
Well, he should have got in front of it then.
You know, yeah, he should have blocked the shot. Exactly. Don't be afraid.
You know, take the saber in the teeth if you have to. You want that saber? Go get it.
Oh, if you wanted it that bad, trust me, you could have had it. But he just watched it fly by. I think he was more in awe.
Well, he actually ducked out of the way.
He's like, whoa, too fast, man.
Yeah, no, that was a wuss move.
Well, either way, but you see how it's kind of the connection there is that Snoke's telling him he wields the Skywalker blade. Like, whatever, is going to be the one, you know? And next thing you know, like, Rey's wielding it, and that's why he's been like, that's mine. Like, I need that. I need that. And she's like, sorry. I guess I'm kind of, like, chosen for this one.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of validity to that, I think. As far as Snoke's interest in her, I think he just feels like, well, geez, if there's this untrained girl out there that they may already kind of know about to some degree.
Yeah, we figure they both are having visions. Like, they kind of speak about her. Like, they know her, know of her. You said before, Snoke says she's going to end us or whatever.
I said that?
Yeah, like, didn't Snoke say something along the lines in the movie of, if the new Jedi arise, then...
if Skywalker returns, the new Jedi will rise. That's all he says.
But it's a kind of in reference to her seeking him out, no?
If she... No.
No? Hmm. But you know, at one point, Kylo knows that in the movie, it's kind of pointed toward, like, he's like, what girl, you know, and like grabs the guy.
Yeah, the way he says that like makes it sound like he's already been told at some point in his life that there's a girl kicking around out there somewhere, maybe on Jakku, maybe not. And now he's going, wait a second. Wait, like he knows that the girl that this guy's talking about is the girl that he's heard about either in his visions or Snoke has told him about or that he's read about.
Visions, though, man. If you're having visions of someone you know and the visions you had, too, like... Dude, they can be pretty heavy. He knows that she's going to kind of be like, once she comes into the picture, it's like, okay, my life's going to change. And I think it's the same thing for Luke as well.
Probably, yeah, I would imagine.
But do you think it's a plausible ending to this movie, kind of? I think Mark had said something about this as well in TSW. Very interesting. That DJ or Benicio Del Toro's character kind of ends up maybe being like the Lando of this movie. Kind of in a way hunting some of the crew down, some of the people that Rey cares about, like Finn. Getting everybody kind of assembled in one place, like Bespin, like in an Empire. Like, he's the one that kind of backstabs everyone, gets them in the same place, but then kind of comes back good at the end. You know what I mean? Like, he can't go through with it. He's like the Corso or the Lando, you know?
I suppose, yeah. He could definitely be that type of character.
So, that'd be cool. Like, he's the one that, you know, like, Rey's in the middle of her training, like, the Knights of Ren battle, whatever, and she's like, yo, we got a jet. Like, we got to go help my friends. And Luke's like, no, you can't jet yet. You got more training to do.
You wanted this? Sit down.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I think that's part of my theory anyhow. My meat and bone structure is that that's what it kind of boils down to, like the rebellions kind of.
Well, what you have to do is put the Resistance and Rey up Shit Creek to end the movie.
No,
you've got to paint a very bleak picture on both ends.
Oh, and for sure.
You could do that, then I guess you have a plausible ending.
Well, that's why I see that. That's why I said the Kylo kind of ending, and either someone going with Snoke and dumping Kylo off on them, but just DJ being the character to bring them all together and possibly help them get out of their bind in the long run. You know, Finn kind of going on his own adventure once having escaped from Crait. Poe, kind of up in the air still. I'm not exactly sure what kind of storyline his character is going to tackle at this point. So it's going to be like, I think there's going to be three storylines, right? There's going to be the Force storyline, there's going to be Finn's storyline, and there'll be the Resistance storyline. Resistance versus First
Leia's order, too. Leia's going to have a big one, which, well, I guess rolls into the Resistance.
Yeah, exactly. It's clump with Poe and all that, you know. Well, she's going to be more prevalent in this movie anyhow.
Anyway, so these pirates, movie pirates, apparently have gotten their hands on a Disney movie, and they're threatening Bob Iger that they're going to start trickling it out if their demands are not met. Now, people were worried and I guess also excited that, it's episode 8. So my question is, if these guys followed through on their threat and started releasing the movie, at first they said they were going to do it in, I think they said 5-minute chunks, and then if they still weren't getting their demands met, they would just start blasting it out in 20-minute bits. So my question, would you, if they were out there, and you could get it just by the click of a button, and watch a good quality version of The Last Jedi now, would you? Right there. It's right in front of you. Just click it and a little video player will pop up and you can watch. Would you do it?
Dude, I would straight up tell those eat it.
That is a very immature response.
Yeah, I'm done. No way, man. That's so lame. Super lame. I would hope we get fandom behind that, you know what I mean? Like, I get how tempting it is, but no, like, this is a time where the Star Wars community should unite as one and be like, we're too strong for that.
I wonder how many of you know this one. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya.
That's not going to happen.
Of course not. There's too many people who are weak. I'm strong. I would totally not do it. I would be. I need that. Maybe I should do it though, because I was thinking about episode 8 today, and they had that also that news about there being this huge reveal in episode 8. Oh my god! And oh man. Dude, I don't want to pass out in theater. Hyperventilate and have a stroke or a heart attack or something, man. I could feel it, man, already. Like that sensation of that night that, you know, the curtains close and the curtain comes up, whatever. I'm gonna be like, oh my god, this is it. I think we're all expecting something a little different from this movie, and it's got a lot of questions to answer too. So I think
this is the fork in the road for Star Wars.
Well, it's got a lot of questions to answer from the last one too. So I think we're really all in. Anticipating that, which makes this one kind of almost worse than the last one in a way.
Well, I don't know that we're going to get that many answers.
No, we're going to get some answers that are going to give us more questions.
Yeah, and we're not going to come out any further ahead. Anyway, so I asked the poll. Almost nobody responded, but 39% of people said they'd skip it. And 22% said they would quit the internet. So you have about 60% of people saying that they would absolutely not watch footage of The Last Jedi. And then you have 17% say they would watch and brag about it. And another 22% say that they would watch it, but then lie about it.
You know what? The 17 that would watch and brag about it, I would probably unfollow.
Oh, yeah. Those people, at least, they get muted. I don't want to say I'd unfollow, but they would get muted. I don't want to see your tweets for the next little while. Until I've seen the movie, you're gone. The people who watch and lie about it, no, I didn't watch it.
That's just you.
Stick around. Just don't spoil it for me.
Either way, just lying to yourself, man. Just be honest to everybody. I did it. I'll be quiet. I'm weak. I'm sorry. Whatever. But no, I'm waiting for opening night. It's all about the opening night with you boys and everybody.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that. It's closing on 200 days, so. I think most people you'd ask, though, would... I don't know anybody who's... Oh, I'll put the question to the listeners. Anybody out there who would say, yes, I would absolutely click it. I would not be able to help myself.
No, that's a good point. Like, even me, like, I'm kind of betraying the fact of how hard it would probably actually be.
But it would be so tough. You'd be so tempted.
I would be. And especially then you got those people that, again, are weak and would just start posting stuff right away. And you'd be like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people that would start posting, like, stills.
That'd be lame.
Those people get blocked.
Yeah, I would basically... go Twitter free or Twitter dark, whatever you call it. You'd have to, man.
No, those people just straight up get blocked.
Yeah.
Reported to Twitter. Asshole. That's what you are.
Asshole. Major asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole too, sir. Gun is made first class. Philip asshole.
All right. What else you got cooking over there?
Well, I had some games tonight, but James was a no-show. Could not get in touch with the James out tonight, so I think our winner circle's out of the question this week. So
that's a shame.
Yeah, let's. I got another game that you and I can do, but let's start with a round of trivia. Let's do trivia, right, man. I got to. Let's keep it. Let's keep it tight. Let's keep it tight. Okay, so turns out we have a character. How can I word this? IG-88 is in A New Hope. Do you know which scene and what he's doing, kind of? This is a bit of a loophole, but
Yeah, I know. He's a prop in the bar.
Yeah,
the cantina.
He's a drink dispenser, and that's prior to Empire, right? So it's like they just grab that drink dispenser. Bounty hunter. Oh yeah. All right, so I got another quick one for you here. I'm gonna ask you a question. You know, again, I can't remember if this is from my encyclopedia, which I think it might be, or from one of these lists of 100 facts about Star Wars you never knew. So which bounty hunter followed Boba Fett to Cloud City and can be seen in Empire Strikes Back in Cloud City?
Well, that's a good one. I'm guessing, is it going to be Dengar?
You'd be wrong. We were just talking about IG-88, and it would be IG-88. Supposedly, he followed Boba there, and he can be seen in a scrap pile behind the, what are they called?
The Ugnaughts?
Yes. Right behind the Ugnaughts.
That crossed my mind, but why would he be in a scrap pile?
Because Boba dispatched him. Like, it's one of those, like, side tangent stories, you know, that Boba was doing on the side, I guess, you know? But supposedly, yeah, he was circled out there. I always figured, you know, well, whatever. Maybe I'd have to, if it's in the encyclopedia, we're 100% good to go. I'd like to do a little more research if it was on one of those Mashable sites or whatever. But either way, like, it's kind of cool. Could just be another, who knows how many units of the IG-88 series they put out there, right? But he's definitely in a scrap pile in the background, and that was the background story behind that at the time. We'll have to look into it a little more. Like, again, I didn't do too much research, but if it's in the encyclopedia, I'll let you know. If not, we'll have to look it up. But again, I would have liked that story to have been elaborated on. Kind of new to my ear. I might have heard it a long time ago, maybe, but interesting. Anyhow, could cool little tale that could be told in one of those, like, Tales of Jabba's Palace kind of books.
All right, so I got a would you rather for you. I actually heard about this one on our local sports media. So would you rather have a sandwich named after you or a street named after you?
Now, is the restaurant an established restaurant that we know is not going anywhere?
I don't know. Jeez, I have no idea.
Yeah, we're gonna have to say that it's a franchise, maybe restaurant. And I'm gonna have to go that route because, again, you're not specifying streets. Like, I don't care if I'm named a street name off some, you know, unknown street. Like, if you were to replace my name or whatever it is, my nickname, anything, on, like, St. Catharines or, like, a major street running through our city, I might reconsider. But if it's just, like, some rural or suburban street name, I don't really care. I'm a big fan of sandwiches.
Well, who isn't? Yeah. Who doesn't love a good sandwich? What would be in your sandwich?
Is it a sandwich or a burger? Can we do anything as a sandwich?
I guess for the sake of this exercise, you can make it a burger.
Okay, I'll go quick. Sandwich, I think I'd have to layer just one layer of calabrese, double up on the capicola, and you get a little mortadella for some smoothness with some sharp cheese. You know, you got to contrast that with some sharp cheese. Get some peppers in there, maybe a bit of oil, lettuce, tomato. That's it, man.
That sounds all right.
On a baguette. It's got to be on a baguette. French baguette.
Well, of course. Is there any other?
I guess not, eh? Baguette.
No, I would... breaded chicken, some avocado, some spicy mayo, a little bit of spice, maybe some slaw in there as well. Maybe some roasted red pepper. And you can throw that all into a brioche bun. How about that?
Oof. I'll tell you, definitely toppings wise, we're on the same side. For, like, if that were my burger, avocado on a burger or guacamole, whatever, either or, amazing. jalapenos on a burger sets that shit off. Do it if you haven't tried it. Just do it.
No, my go-to, if I have options, like my go-to burger is avocado or guacamole, goat cheese, and jalapenos.
Like that. I like that. I'd like to get a tomato in there, too, if the jalapenos are there. But even, you know, I love sautéed mushrooms, all that stuff. It's all good.
All right, you got any would-you-rathers? So we both went sandwich, right? We both would choose us having a sandwich named after us?
Yeah. Yeah,
but mine, like, you go with the franchise. I'm going with, like, a classic mom and pops.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a place that's been around for years and years, like a city landmark.
That's what I kind of meant by saying, I didn't really mean franchise. I meant, like, established, like, city landmark kind of deal. Like, something that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, that's clearly what I would do.
Yeah, man. The Chop rules with a Z burger. Whatever. I don't know. Let's try this. I wanted to do this with James, but new little game. We're not going to do the round table or the winner's circle tonight. I got more trivia, but let's save them for James as well. I got this little thing. It's called Best in Show Down. So it's the Best in Showdown. So what I'm going to do, hopefully we'll get to play again. It'll be funner when James is here, but what we'll do is, I think moving forward, we'll choose classifications or genres, whatever. Like, we'll say bounty hunters or Jedi, whatever. But for the purposes of this episode, we'll just put them in the randomizer. And what we're going to do is the randomizer is going to choose three Star Wars characters at random, and we're gonna have to just rank them for between third, second, and best in show. And ideally we should have a consensus on it by the end of our discussion.
But like, who would win, like, if those three squared off against each other?
Well, we could take,
like, who comes out on top.
You know what, that's the interesting part. I really wanted to take this your answers in any direction that you guys so see fit. That, you know, if you want it to be like most popular fan, like most popular by fans, just whatever it is, whatever your reasoning behind having best in show is the showdown.
Okay.
All right. Let's hit the randomizer button. And ooh, interesting. All right. We're coming up with Boba Fett. Interesting. Lando. And Finn. Three totally unrelated characters hit by the randomizer. So it's round one. Fight!
So what are the parameters of this fight? Where are they?
No, I'm just saying, like, we got to rank these guys, third, second best for any reasons we so see fit. So...
I think the randomizer gave it to us.
Yeah, it's a tight list of characters there. They really, the randomizer did give it to us there.
I think Boba Fett's on top, and then Lando, and then, maybe one day Finn will be a great warrior, but at this point he still has to learn from his elders.
Interesting. I really thought you were going to go different on that. I like the fact that you said that Finn, he's just hasn't earned his stars and stripes yet, kind of. Kind of gets, he got the street cred now. Shoulder injury, back injury.
Well, it's like a hockey player. When you get your first stick in the face as a rookie, or you lose your first tooth, now you're a hockey player.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go Lando, number one. Boba number two, and just Finn number three for the same. I'm in agreement with your reasoning. I love the character so much, but he's got so much more to show us, and we're gonna see it. And I love the guy, but
I think Finn is gonna be terrific. He was terrific in The Force Awakens, but I think the character is gonna just have a great turn in The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Like, by the end of this movie, he's come 180, and he's faced his fears, pretty much. If you can go up against someone like that with a Jedi, like, with that kind of lightsaber and hold your own for, well, not hold your own, be toyed with, whatever it is, but still stick your ground and not run like a little bitch. Yeah. Like, he's...
Well, the fact that he stood in there and
he's like Rocky. He did the 12 rounds.
Whatever. It really lasted about 30 seconds, but yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, like moving forward, there's not going to be much that's going to get under his skin too much, you know? Like, he'll be able to get up and go that much easier. Be like, we can do this.
Yeah, I think this boils down to him versus Phasma at some point.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, you're right.
I think she's going to have it in for him.
That's
like,
true.
Big time.
Pose.
By the time episode, like, she's going to be, like, this is the guy that got away from her. Her trooper, one of her elite, just pissed off.
That's interesting, you know, maybe Poe and Hux, Finn and Phasma, Finn and Rey, or Rey and, sorry, Kylo.
Yeah, maybe it does end up being Finn versus Rey at some point. How horrible would that be?
Not cool, man. They've already had their moment of tribulations, you know? Their friendship's solid.
I would hope so.
He came back for her, man. Come on. It's solid.
Well, that's what would make it so hard. I mean, this would be because, not because Kylo's or Finn has gone back to the First Order. It's because Rey is having too much of a love affair with the dark side.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah, that could be pretty interesting. But I guess I'm going to put Lando number one, nostalgia factor. Boba's super cool. Love Boba. But I just love the fact that Lando came through for his friends in the end, you know? Put on the Han Solo's clothes once he got into the Falcon. Or who knows, maybe they were Lando's clothes originally. You know, you took my ship. But yeah.
I like the reasoning for that they didn't know if Harrison Ford was coming back. So visually they needed to put somebody in that position so that if Harrison Ford didn't come back, you knew that would be sort of the replacement for the Han character.
That's interesting.
Still so weird that he's wearing Han's clothes, but anyway.
The Star Wars universe is weird like that. They have a lot of people, just the fashion sense is quite odd. A lot of people, they don't care, man. It's just, you know, get some towels on me, and as long as I'm covered, like, we're cool.
Yeah, just give me the same outfit for the next 18 to 20 years, and I'll manage.
Yep. Yeah, no biggie.
All right, is there a round two to this, or we got more?
Well, are we in agreeance here that we put Lando first, Boba, then Finn?
Well, I don't see... How does Lando come out on top here?
Well, I put Lando on top again because he fought for his friends. Like, he was kind of left in a position where he looked like the bad guy and sold his friends out, but he doubled back and did the right thing. And I can't remember. This is in Jabba's Palace. Again, not canon anymore. But canonically... He, to get into Jabba's palace was no easy task for Lando. Like, he went deep undercover. Like, he put his life on the line, man. Like, he did all the right steps to right his wrongs and get his friend back, you know?
Yeah, he definitely did. I mean, it's still a story waiting to be told as to how he infiltrated Jabba's palace. How he got in there undetected and stayed undetected. Presumably, I'm going to guess that if Lando's in this Han Solo movie and the Hutts are a part of it, is Jabba aware of Lando?
Well, that's something, hopefully. I mean, we're talking about it here. Hopefully, the creative team at Lucasfilm can kind of touch upon that as well.
Because I have a hard time believing. I mean, it makes Lando's move gutsier if he knows that Jabba knows who he is.
And the Hutts have eidetic memories as well.
Do they?
No. I don't know.
Well, yeah. No, just if Jabba knows exactly who Lando is, and yet Lando put himself into that palace anyway, then that makes the move even more heroic.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Maybe it makes Jabba look cooler too for playing the slow hand, you know?
Nothing makes Jabba look cool except for my Sunglasses the Hutt t-shirts, which you can get on TeePublic.
This is called a shameless plug.
I really do like that shirt.
That's a good one.
And I think you should buy one.
Meh.
What do you mean, meh?
Yeah, I wasn't, to be honest, that one kind of seemed like low-hanging fruit to me.
Oh, come on. It's genius.
It is pretty good, to be honest. I do need more t-shirts. That's always been a big thing for me, man. If I wasn't collecting toys right now, I'd be collecting t-shirts. I can't stop buying t-shirts whenever I go out, man. It's like t-shirts.
I still have two Star Wars vintage t-shirts from the 70s.
Dude, those are ours, first of all. You somehow winded up with them. Yeah.
Because I knew they'd be safe with me.
Oh, yeah. They still actually fit me, though.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're actually quite small. They did back in high school, big time. They were perfect for me in high school.
The Star Wars one with the R2 and 3PO probably would. It was oddly very long. But forget about Empire.
Yeah, I can get into it, but it might just disintegrate.
They're actually, I mean, the sticker, the graphic is kind of dying a very slow death, but the t-shirts themselves are actually in pretty good shape.
We'll have to check next time because, dude, that Empire shirt, oh, man, it was just, like, so cool to be able to be wearing that stuff around school, you know? Being original, like, you know that it's original from 1977 or 1980, whatever it was. People don't necessarily know that. They may be like, oh, whatever, it's a repro. But no, you know. And dude, that Empire shirt that we have, I want the people to imagine this. It's just a very simple shirt. It's beige, like a really light beige and like puke color almost. Really ugly.
What kind of puke is that?
Either way, it's an ugly color. But the graphic on it is like this really thick kind of like plastic or whatever, but the borderline and in between, it was all like sparkly, you know? It had like...
Well, at one point it would have been really, really nice and have those little metal flake sparkles in it.
Yeah. That's awesome. It was solid.
I put them on Instagram when I first found them.
At least you still have them.
Yeah, no, they're safe.
I should get one at least.
And next time you come over, you can snag one.
Mmm. Score.
Yeah, but you better not wear it out. If you wear it, I'm going to come and grab it right back from you, regardless of where you are.
Even if it's like a premiere?
It's not a good idea, man.
Yeah, I'd probably frame it, to be honest, at this point. Get it dry cleaned and then frame it. That'd be cool.
The graphic is not frameable, really.
Either way, it's the memory, man. It definitely would have to go on display somewhere. It's not going in a closet.
I wonder if somebody has a collection of vintage Star Wars clothing. Like, I wonder if that is a thing, like a subculture in Star Wars collecting.
Well, I always got my ear to the ground for shoes, man. I love my Star Wars shoes.
I wouldn't collect vintage Star Wars shoes.
They are expensive.
I'm just thinking about the old stank.
Oh, a lot of people, they're collectibles, right? People aren't really wearing them.
Vintage Star Wars shoes?
Well, vintage, yeah, you're right. It's a lot of new nice ones out there anyhow.
Time to wrap this sucker up. Unless you've got anything else?
Yeah, I've got all kinds, but we're gonna save it for Mr. James O'Flaherty.
Cool. I think we can call it quits here then.
Yeah, well, let's just say one last thing about Carlos.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, his Kickstarter is well underway. He's got a little bit of lift under his project, but let's help him out. Get in there, roll up your sleeves, and throw some money at Carlos. and let's get his project off the ground. Let's get this guy in the studio recording a full album.
Yeah, we can all request
that. You know you want to hear it. I know I want to hear it. We all want to hear it.
We can request a Star Wars song to be written or something. I'm sure. Yeah, come on. Carlos is just he's bursting at the seams here. Like, let's get this done, man. I want this project to take flight. Like, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, do it. Any amount helps. Anything helps. So just look up Carlos Candido Music on Facebook. The link to his Kickstarter is there. You can actually, if many of you already follow Carlos on Twitter, you can already hit him up for that link. Or just go to CarlosCandidoMusic.com. Alternatively, you could just go to Kickstarter.com, search Carlos Candido, and that will take you right to his projects. And the rest is self-explanatory. That's it. We're done. We're going to wish you guys a happy weekend. Corey, thanks. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, it was fun,
I hope James is okay.
Yeah, me too, man. We haven't heard from him all day. We thought we were good to go, but yeah, man. Missing the Bombadil 1.
Yeah, Tommy Bombadil 1 on Twitter. Be sure to follow James. He's closing in on a couple hundred followers. Let's see if we can't get him there by the end of the weekend. So go follow James. Encourage other people to follow James, and let's keep constantly tweeting at him. I know he loves his phone alerts going off constantly. Corey's at Chop Rules with a Z.
You know it, baby.
I'm at Tumbling Saber on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget, you know, you got a weekend coming up here for us in Canada. It's a long weekend, so if you're listening in Canada, you have a little extra time to go hit up StarWarsCommonwealth.com, where you'll find our podcasting partners who do such good work. So I encourage you to go do that. And I mostly encourage you to enjoy your weekend. Get some rest and recharge, because episode 76 of the Tumbling Saber podcast is coming for you in just a couple days' time. So until we talk again, wish you all the best and have a great weekend. And bye for now. Thank you.